Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Thank you so much for staying with us. Now, Venezuela on Sunday condemned what it said was a military provocation by neighboring Trinidad and Tobago in coordination with the U.S. On the line with us is Global Affairs Specialist and Senior Fellow at Montreal Institute of Global Security, Dr. Terence McNamee. Once again, I really appreciate you talking to us. I think it's still morning for you. Good morning to you.
Hi, Pamela. No, I'm in Johannesburg.
Are you great. Oh, it's lovely to have you in Johannesburg. Dr. McNamee, you know, we obviously been listening to what Trump has been saying, quite bold in his utterances of what he plans to do with what he calls these syndicates and what he feels are cartels, of drug cartels in Venezuela. What is actually behind all of this?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, and I think there's not one right answer. I think you should probably look at about four or five different elements to this, or should we say audiences for this particular action. First, you've got domestically in the United States, you've got a kind of reorientation of a defense ethos under Pete Hegseth, this idea that the United States must be a war-fighting machine and projecting strength. Secondly, of course, you have the trifecta of issues, drugs, gangs, and migration. And this action very much fits into that dynamic. Third, you have Venezuela. Venezuela is one of the principal adversaries of the United States, not just President Trump. The United States does not recognize its leader, President Maduro, as the legitimate president, and it would like to see him gone, whether that's through force or whether that's through Venezuelans themselves overthrowing him. And then fourth, I would highlight the geopolitics. And the geopolitics of this situation are very important. And that is, Trump has made a lot of play out of this idea that the Western Hemisphere, this is his background, this is his backyard, this is his territory. Mm. So this may be very much a sphere of influence play that is sending messages to the rest of the world, notably China, that don't mess around in our backyard. So I think there's a number of elements one has to consider when thinking about what's going on.
So where does this leave Venezuela's President Maduro? Because, you know, he's been saying, you know, peace, peace. I suppose he's quite nervous about what's probably about to happen. Is the intelligence that you've just alluded to, the fact that, you know, Trump does not recognize Maduro. What do you think is actually likely to happen, apart from the threats that he's making about the fact that he will attack those drug cartels? In terms of regime change, is it imminent?
Well, I think my own view, just as a bit of a thumbsuck, I think that the chances of him hanging on are less than 50% for a number of reasons, again, not just for one reason. One, of course, is, you know, the recent Nobel Peace Prize was given to his main Venezuelan adversary, the leader of the opposition, who is in exile. That very much is a reflection of popular support, which currently for Maduro is still quite low in Venezuela, but he still has control of the military. However, the moment that the military decides that the game is up, then Maduro is absolutely finished because he can't hang on if he loses the support of the military. And President Trump is certainly keeping his regime guessing whether or not they are prepared to go to that step of attacks on Venezuelan soil, whether from the air or whether isolated attacks from land. I mean, who knows? Again, President Trump is highly mercurial, and we're not quite sure what he has in mind in terms of the toolbox. And then internationally and regionally, you know, support for Maduro is not exactly high. We do not want to see a return in Latin America to the days of regime change. But equally, he's not a popular leader. So I think the pressure on him is immense. And, you know, one can foresee in numerous ways he is removed, whether that's through popular unrest or whether that's through direct military action of the United States. So I think I think his chances of hanging on, the chances of him still being the president, by early next year, I think are reducing fast.
Would I be wrong in saying, while maybe, you know, the population may not necessarily be in favor of Maduro and there may be some unrest, surely they wouldn't want it to come from the U.S., that regime change. They wouldn't want it to be enabled by the U.S.
Well, you're right. So you hit upon a very important point, and there's always a fine balance in this thing, in the sense that right now his support is not high. But if somehow U.S. support, and remember, lots of unintended consequences can flow from military action. Mm. If, for instance, there are some attacks in which come from the United States and Venezuelan civilians are killed, mm. Or other accidents happen, then, of course, we've seen in societies, you know, the rally around the flag effect. And mm. even though there may be mm. no special affinity for Maduro, mm. the population could, in certain circumstances, rally to his defense. Mm. But again, I think the United States, for all of the what's going on right now, they are mindful of the record of major, major mistakes in the regions by previous U.S. administrations, certainly from the 1980s, the 1970s, the 1960s. So I think, you know, they'll be aware of the fact that right now a lot of the cards are in, how should we say, the kind of pro-regime change forces, but that could change.
So while all of this is happening, just maybe give me a sense of internally in the U.S., things are not going well. The government is not functioning. And is, you know, are people, how are they reacting to that while he's so preoccupied with everything else in the world?
Well, I mean, I don't want to ask you a question, but I'm slightly tempted to do so, Pamela, because I think it reflects a sense that, you know, our outside or external impression in terms of what's going on in the United States. Mm-hmm. Of course, there are tremendous concerns about democratic backsliding. Mm. Of course there are. And about the exercise of executive power. At the same time, at the moment, mm. you know, the United States economy is booming, right? And, you know, though this may be the sugar rush of mm. what's going on in terms of the AI boom, but at the end of the day, the United States economy is doing well for the time being. Mm. And, you know, in terms of President Trump's moves, yes, we've seen rallies, the No Kings rally and that type of stuff. And that's really, really important. But you have to remember there's a significant, I would say, majority support in the mm. United States for mm. a general tougher crackdown on issues like migration. Now, mm. that's not to say that support for things like ICE and taking people off the streets are high.
I get you.
But I think we have to be a little bit careful to sort of assume that, you know, everyone in America is up in arms and they think things are going terribly and stuff. Because it's not at the moment. Again, there are concerns. There's deep concerns about democracy and what's going on with the justice system and all of that stuff. But at the same time, we have to look at the bigger picture, the economy, and how politics interacts with that.
That is such an interesting point, because can we then say there genuinely is an imbalance in reporting of what is actually happening in the U.S.? So as Trump complains, is he probably right that there isn't a balance in how things are going in the U.S., how it's been reported on?
Well, I think some things are obvious in terms of, as I said, the exercise of executive power. And, you know, we see with our own eyes what his press conferences are like, the type of language he uses and all of that kind of stuff. But again, it's really, really important to, you know, understand, say, what the experts think. So the World Bank meetings that were just held in the United States, I took some soundings from some very prominent, you know, South African officials about what's the main takeaways right now mm. in terms of the United States and economy. Mm. And on the economic front, yes, things could go pear-shaped in 6 months' time. But at the moment, it's quite positive. So, yeah, I think we need to, you know, of course, address the major concern about democratic backsliding, which seems fairly obvious. Mm. But place that in the context of everything else that is going on. Mm. And also the fact that, you know, we don't see a really coherent opposition in terms of mm. the Democratic Party at the moment. All of their sort of counteroffensive is quite bitty and it's a bit disjointed. And, you know, the federal government sort of shut down. It's unclear to me exactly who's getting the lion's share of the blame for this shutdown. So, yeah, I think we definitely have to get our news sources from different places and then kind of build our own picture. But, you know, don't sort of give in to the complete, you know, the United States is about to fall off a cliff.
That's very interesting. The United States and China having had talks over the weekend about the tariffs, do you think they're finally going to, you know, come to some sort of an understanding?
Sure. I mean, again, it's possible. And as I've said on your program before, I mean, let's always steer well clear of definitive statements. I mean, if you asked me, you know, 5 or 6 days ago, how are things going with Canada in terms of the tariff situation?
Yeah.
I would say, in general, you know, Carney and Trump have built something of a rapport. Things are getting back on track. And then, boom, something on an extremely personal level resonates badly with President Trump, and that's this advertisement about Ronald Reagan's views on tariffs. And then, boom, he ends trade talks, and then, boom, he increases the tariff on Canada for sort of 10%. And similarly with China, yes, the signs are that a deal is possible. People are talking about that. And remember, you know, the sort of successes, if we can call them that, in terms of President Trump, you know, our tendency, because they come from a place which we assume to be just total bullying and complete self-interest, we have a tendency to kind of diminish them. But we have to, again, look at the whole picture. And as one example, you know, the idea that President Trump, however he has done that, has made the rest of NATO commit to, you know, doubling and then sometimes tripling the percentage of GDP that is spent on defense spending. That's quite an extraordinary achievement, however it came about.
Yeah.
So we sort of have to look at, you know, the whole picture when we're analyzing these things.
So then give me a sense then. Generally, in the U.S. population, is he gaining popularity again?
Well, I'm not sure about that, but what we can say with some level of conviction is that he support for President Trump has not completely collapsed.
Yeah, of course.
Right.
Yeah.
And let's face it, he has done some exceptionally dramatic things and he's pushed his MAGA agenda in a way that I think, you know, even Project 2025 authors can't believe how fully he has done it. Right. So there has been no collapse. Now, he's not booming. You know, there's no great sort of Obama-like honeymoon. But at the same time, you know, given the kind of disruption and upheaval that he has brought not just to the United States, of course, but, of course, as much talked about, the sort of liberal international order, you know, I think we have to sort of reserve judgment. And I think we really need to look as the litmus test or the bellwether, we need to look at the, you know, November 2026 midterms. I think at that point, we'll be able to make something of a definitive call or how he has performed in the eyes of Americans. But I think at the moment, it's too early to tell. And there's no definitive data that that Americans have gone sour on him.
Gosh. Love to talk to you again, especially closer to that the midterms. Thank you very, very much again for talking to us. And yeah, it's lovely to have you in Joburg.
Pleasure.
Dr. Terence McNamee, Global Affairs Specialist and Senior Fellow at the Montreal Institute of Global Security.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.